I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Once again, I'm joined by the Vancouver Courier's Mark Hasiuk. The paper's columnist and reporter joins me now. We'll check in to see what's on his radar, politically and otherwise. I'm a fan of his work, and I'll ask where he's been. MarkHasiuk.com is his own blog, and the Courier is found twice a week on your doorstep here in Vancouver or online at VanCourier.com. Please welcome back to the Plant on the Line program, Mark Hasiuk. Good morning, Mr. Hasiuk.
Morning, Joe. How are you?
Very good. Yourself?
Good.
So, where have you been? I haven't seen your column in a while, and I've looked online, and it seems that you haven't been in the paper at least since the 7th.
Yes.
Are you on vacation?
Well, I was on vacation. My sister got married, and we went to Jamaica for an all-inclusive booze fest.
Ah.
But also, there have been some changes at the Courier. We're really focusing as much as possible on web now. It's a bit of a transition for us, as other papers are experiencing. So while we're working that out, my writing a column, you know, I have other duties. So as it stands right now, I'm going to be back writing on a week-to-week basis, but probably only appearing in print a couple of times a month. But I will be back into a weekly schedule starting next week. But that stuff will just appear online every second week.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that a lot of media outlets are moving to the Internet, moving to digital.
Mm-hmm.
Do you tweet? Do you Facebook?
Yeah, you know what? I don't do much in Facebook, but the Courier is actually, we've just relaunched our Facebook site this week. It's like you said, the whole industry is in an entire state of flux, and social media is becoming more and more important every day. So the Courier has launched a Facebook site. We had an old one. We didn't use it much, but we're going to be increasing our Facebook presence. I tweet my columns. I tweet other things, and I do have my blog. Yeah, it's a new world, Joe, and we're just trying to keep up.
Yeah. So tomorrow, Saturday, BC Liberals are electing a new leader.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you watch, or you're watching?
Well, I watch it as a political observer. I watch it with interest. Now, I don't write about political issues per se. I keep it civic. I keep it municipal. I'm a Vancouver-centric columnist. But, yeah, I'm interested, of course.
Yeah. Does it matter who wins on Saturday?
Yeah, I think it does matter. You know, the main fight for me, as far as my interest goes, is what the next government will do on education. I think that there's going to be a showdown between the provincial government and the teachers' union. I think that's really coming to a head. And I'm very interested to see what the next premier is going to do about that situation.
I've always wondered, in terms of education, how influential or powerful, seems to be the wrong word, that the Vancouver School Board has in making policy or influencing policy with the provincial government, thus affecting what happens in the rest of the province. Is what happens here in Vancouver terribly influential to how kids are educated, say, in the province?
Well, obviously, the curriculum and the way education is run comes from the province. But the real power is found in the teachers' union. Mm. And in the Vancouver School Board right now, the head of the Vancouver School Board, Patty Backus, and her Vision Vancouver majority on the school board are very closely aligned to the teachers' union. So, yeah, what happens at the school board definitely matters. They are going to take their cues, you know, not that they're led by the union, but they are aligned with the union. And what the union wants, the school board is going to advocate. So, yeah, it does matter at the school board level. That's why I think the next premier, when things finally settle, there's going to be a real showdown, and that's going to reverberate down into at the school board level. You'll see a lot of kind of political gamesmanship and posturing by Vancouver School Board trustees opposing the province. They'll be very vocal. So it's going to be an interesting time coming up in education in this province.
And there's an election in November.
Yeah.
Do you think people are already paying attention to that, or does that ratchet up, say, after the summer?
Yeah, I think after the summer, when you're heading into the fall, people will start paying attention. Right now, I don't think there's outside of the media and people who follow politics closely, I don't think there's a lot of interest. But when we head into the election, when the cycle really gets rolling, I think there'll be a pretty high turnout. The resignation of Premier Campbell caught a lot of people off guard and woke people up to people who don't normally pay attention to provincial politics. So I think there'll be a high voter turnout next fall.
Are the parties themselves mobilizing already?
Yes. Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that when you see, I saw a poll out today that said Christy Clark would be the favorite among likely voters to defeat the NDP. I think that she has probably, she is the favorite and she has the best chance of being the next premier. She has the profile, people know her, she's got the name recognition. She's been in government before and she had a radio program. It's certainly ratcheting up here.
In terms of the municipal elections in November, especially the one here in Vancouver, is there someone that we should be watching? Like, is there someone that other than the incumbents running again, I'm sure this mayor's running again.
Mm-hmm.
Is there someone that'll emerge, say, that we haven't heard of yet that we should watch for?
If you know, Joe, can you tell me? Because we have this conversation in the newsroom a lot. I have absolutely no idea. There are names out there, but when you talk to those people, they say absolutely not. Michael Geller, who was an MPA candidate, a failed MPA candidate last election, is a name that's often mentioned. But he's a very smart guy, and I don't think he wants to get into a race to lose. At this point in time, I don't see how any opposition candidate could defeat Vision Vancouver and Mayor Gregor Robertson. They just have way too much money. Their political apparatus operates at a very high level. They're very organized. It would be an amazing undertaking if someone was to come in at this late stage, whether it's Geller or Councillor Suzanne Anton or someone like that, and turn the tide against that Vision juggernaut. I just don't see it happening. So, you know, these people are pretty smart. They're not going to get in there to lose. They might wait this one out and jump in next time.
You say that Vision has too much money, that they're highly organized. That doesn't mean that they're popular. I mean, or does it? I mean,
I don't think that it matters.
Yeah.
You know, for people who pay attention might not favor the mayor or Vision or some of their policies. But ultimately, I don't think that's what decides elections in Vancouver. Anyway, we had a voter turnout of, I think it was 31% last time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of those people march to the polls based on partisanship. They don't pay close attention to the issues, in my opinion, anyway. So it's all about name recognition. It's all about advertising. It's all about what happens in the last 30 days running up to the polls. You know, you do make a good point in that this mayor and this party, if there was a viable option, you have to have some sort of organization to mount an offense. But if there was a viable opposition, they would be very vulnerable because they, and in some precincts, are unpopular due to their policies.
Yeah,
mayor in particular.
Yeah, we hear a lot of complaints about bike lanes,
yeah.
Critical mass. People are pissed off about that. At the end of the day, if the election were held today, he'd probably win. But why is it, though, that it seems like these two things don't reconcile itself? I mean, there's a lot of things that this mayor has done that's unpopular.
Yes.
But, you know, he he would still win, probably, right?
Well, again, I hate to repeat myself, but yeah. it just comes back to the fact that there's no viable opposition. The MPA was nearly eliminated from the political scene last election, wiped out. They elected only one councillor. They were decimated at school board and at park board. And for many people, myself included, thought it might have been the death of the party. So I think that's what it comes down to. You basically, and I'm not going to say you have a dictatorship, but you almost have a one-party system right now in Vancouver. So if you have nowhere else to go, you don't really have anyone to vote against, essentially.
And you don't think Bruce Allen will run or someone like that, right?
Bruce Allen, no. That would be something, though. I'd like Bruce to run. That would be great copy for me.
It would be, yeah. Other than the cold, a lot of people seem to be talking about this casino at BC Place. Is this something that you find that your readers to the Courier, are concerned about?
Yes, and we cover it extensively.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty even split. You know, it's a funny thing. You can look at the casino issue and you can say, well, is it what that part of the city, that neighborhood needs? I think you could make a good argument that that's not a great place for a casino. But at the same time, casinos are legitimate businesses. They're legal businesses. And they should be allowed, if they follow the letter of the law, to operate wherever they want. I mean, no one has made a compelling argument to me that a casino should not be allowed to plop itself down in the downtown area. I understand the concerns around casinos, but at this point, I haven't heard any real reason why there shouldn't be one. And at the same on that same token, there is going to be a lot of revenue generated by these casinos. The provincial government already rakes in millions, essentially, by legalized gambling. So, that's kind of where I stand on it. Other people have other opinions, and I respect those opinions.
Yeah, does this become an election issue, do you think?
That's a good question. I don't know if I'm qualified to answer that. It may. If the anti-casino... I guess you could call it lobby. It's not really an organized movement per se, but there are a lot of people out there who are against it. If they can get their word out and if they can start to really insert themselves in the debate, then, yeah, it will become an election issue. We're still in a democracy here. If people organize and they get the word out and they get people to sign for their cause, then, yes, it will become an election issue, absolutely. It's interesting. You saw the Vision City Council, Vision-dominated city council here in Vancouver. On one hand, they have tacitly green-lighted or agreed with establishing the casino downtown, but at the same time, they said they have grave concerns. They're really playing both sides of the fence here. Ultimately, this casino will happen. There's just too much money involved for something like this to stop.
Another thing that's come up in recent weeks is this talk of the art gallery. Is this something that you're watching as well, whether it should go, it should move, and the site that they're proposing?
Yeah, I haven't followed that closely. Again, we've written about it in the Courier. That's not something that I've really taken a close look at, Joe.
Yeah. We've talked about this before, about the people that read you, and when I talk to people, most of the people that I talk to like your column. There are some people that don't like it, and from the look of the letters that the paper publishes, the readership divides the same way. Do you ever engage the people that write you and write back, say? I've always wondered that.
Very, very rarely. If someone sends me a letter and it really addresses me personally and wants me to respond to them, I typically do, because I respect the fact that they took the time to write me or the paper. Most of the letters, and this isn't just for me, but any other columnist, most of the letters you get typically are focusing on the issue, and they may be calling you names or whatever, but they're not really interested in the response. So typically I don't. But if someone sends me, even if it's a very kind of visceral even hate-filled letter, but they want my response, then yeah, usually I'll write back. I won't give them my home address, but I'll let them know I got their letter.
Yeah. I've been on a William F. Buckley kick in the last few weeks, and a lot of his old Firing Line episodes have been put on Facebook. YouTube.
YouTube, yeah.
Yeah. I just love how he speaks, and I've been buying his books online, reading up on him.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've been thinking about over the last week or so is this column you wrote a couple of months now, before Christmas, about Christmas. You got a lot of response to that. Did that surprise you?
Now, that was a column about the...
You talked about how...
Because I wrote a couple of Christmas columns.
Yeah, the mass consumerism.
Yes. No, that didn't surprise me at all. Certainly, any time you touch on religion, you're going to get responses. When I don't typically write much about religion or Christianity, but when I do, we always get responses. I'll never forget a couple of Christmases ago, I wrote about a Christian club at Prince of Wales Secondary School, a high school
right.
in Vancouver,
yeah.
that was banned, and still is to this day, banned from operation in that high school. It's an incredible story. It's amazing to me. And I wrote about it. I wrapped it around the Grinch that stole Christmas theme because it was around Christmas time. And the reaction I got from that, the emails that I got for and against, were as passionate as I've ever seen. So no, I'm not surprised. When you touch on anything to do with religion, you're going to hear from people.
And the reason why I brought up Buckley is because it reminded me the piece that you wrote, and I have it here in the file here. It reminded me of Buckley in the sense that it came from a place of faith. That I don't think there's anyone in this town. Maybe Pete McMartin, but he doesn't strike me as someone religious
mm-hmm.
or spiritual. Douglas Todd would probably write something like this, but he just seems to know many religions.
Mm-hmm.
But yours seem to come from a place of faith. Is that something? And you'll stop me if I'm going into areas that you don't you don't need to talk about.
Yeah.
Is this something that you've tried to do in your column?
Well, again, I haven't written about Christianity. I am a Christian, so I haven't written about Christianity often. But I like to do it when I can, because, as you correctly noted, I am a Christian. I am a person of faith. And that's something that shapes my worldview, and I sometimes feel compelled to express my opinion in that way. It's a difficult thing sometimes to write about because the way Christianity is portrayed in the media, and I blame Christians for. The way that that Christianity is talked about in many cases, because particularly in the United States, you have politicians and media types who use Christianity achieve political gain or to divide people, and if that is the way that people view the religion, then anyone who broaches it in a column or on TV is going to be viewed in a certain light. So it's a difficult thing to write about sometimes, but when I can, I like to do it.
Yeah, and I'm not a particularly religious person myself. I grew up a Catholic.
Yeah.
I'm a lapsed Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
But on this Buckley kick, I just really enjoy reading about faith. Whether it's, I talked to Tim Ward the other week. I mean, he wrote a book about Buddhism.
Yeah.
And I think... We've come from such a politically correct place
right.
that we're not able to think about issues, whether they be political issues or otherwise, in this context of faith.
I think you're absolutely right about that, and I also enjoy reading. I read a lot of books written by Christians or people of other religions, and I think one of the reasons why I enjoy reading those type of writings is because whether you agree with the person or not, more often than not, I believe, they're writing from a position of great sincerity. It's something that they really believe. And that, if it can come across in writing, I think that's a special thing, and that may, the reader can connect much in the way that you feel with that writing. So I think that is a special thing at times.
Mark, I appreciate your time today. Thanks for this. We'll watch for you in the paper and certainly online.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
The website's markhasiak.com. Vancourier.com is the Courier's website. The Vancouver Courier's Mark Hasiak on the line. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.